look, everything in Washington has been a lie. Weapons of mass destruction.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Release the Kraken!
3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Thunder! Thunder! Thunder!
Are not fit anymore for the 21st century. It has laid bare the fundamental lack of social cohesion, fairness, inclusion, and equality. In short, we need a great reset.
If they asked us all 20 years ago to start reducing the population, and by starting with ourselves, well, no one would step forward and volunteer. So they do it. And that was the whole point of creating the Royal Institute for International Affairs, a parallel government, because they said that democracy and the bickering with politicians and, as I say, the irreconcilable factors amongst groups within society were just too different, too much at odds, and they were at loggerheads with each other. They could not get their big agenda through. Therefore, the parallel government would not be responsible to the public, and it could steamroll ahead and bring in their new world order.
Hydra has been secretly feeding Christ, reaping war. And when history did not cooperate, history was
too high. Here's what we know. We know that the people who are dying from this disease are 11-fold more likely to pass if they are...
What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
But friend, you are my only friend.
What the hell are you doing with this creep, huh, Benny? What's in it for you?
It is better to be the right hand of the devil than in his path. As long as I serve him, I am immune.
From what?
Pitch cash a lot.
What did you say?
I don't want to tell you. You just hurt me so
much. As we struggle out of the shadow of our malefactors, welcome back to the light.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am
I'm vengeance.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives, that you can never take our freedom? Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You. We must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friend. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join St. Michael and all the angels in defending God and setting Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. All storms. Yes. The storm is upon us. But not without Jesus, our rudder.
The dark clouds hanging over our government can be lifted and replaced with a bright future. But it all depends on whether we let the corrupt media decide our future or whether we let the American people decide
who are capable
our
of
such
people.
Crimes against our nation are capable of anything. For them, it's a war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me. And this will be our last chance.
And I've seen people quitting.
Hey, rats! Rats!
you have a plan if he responded?
I didn't think that far ahead.
You are live on Liberty's Thunder, irreverent, relevant, and radioactive truth with a bite. I'm your host, Thundersaurus Rex. It's been a couple of months since I did a show. Did you miss me? Not entirely sure I missed doing this. Not entirely sure I want to be doing this now. But today is the 31st of July, 2022. And this marks the 10th anniversary of Liberty's Thunder. In fact, our first show went live on the 27th of July in 2012. That time it was called the Tex and Rex Show. And Tex and Rex had been guests on other shows in the Newt Gingrich 2012 interwebs circles for a few months, probably since March or April, maybe as late as May, I'm not sure. We realized that we had a special ability to discuss relations between the Newt Gingrich camp and the Ron Paul camp, which usually are impossible to reconcile because libertarian-ish liberals and conservative liberals tend to clash and argue, despite the fact that they have the same fundamental errors, liberal errors as their premise. They tend to fall into different camps, and especially within the Republican Party, that tends to be two wings that don't get along too often. But given that the, quote, establishment were shilling for Mitt Romney in order to have a spectacular defeat against Obama, it seemed necessary to get Gingrich and Paul people together because they had garnered enough delegates to stop Mitt on the first ballot. So I think we did over a dozen shows between our premiere on the 27th of August and that fateful day in Tampa. Tex and Rex were down there live broadcasting from Tampa during the 2012 RNC convention, in which, as usual, the Republicans rigged everything to prevent both Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul from having a chance. And it was a famous teleprompter read of a vote that had just happened, and the results were the objection is laid on the table, the motion is laid on the table without objection, but there was a lot of objections, not broadcast on television, and how do you read a vote off a teleprompter before it even happened?
Without objection, the previous question is ordered. The question is on the adoption of the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed, no. Any other chair, the ayes have it. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table.
That was John, the original orange man, Boehner, basically reading the rigged rules, and Mitt Romney did, in fact, go on to a spectacular defeat against Barack Obama, so we ended up with 4.5 more years of the fundamental transformation of America. And it was pathetic, and it was going in the wrong direction, and it was clear and evident, but there was a rising tide of resistance that really began when George W. Virginia Bush was president. It began long before that with the Buchanan Brigades, and you can go back further. But the rise of the Tea Party, basically, which was crushed by McConnell, McCarthy, Scalise, and Eric Cantor until his lazy ass got evicted by David Brat, until 2015, when that big, beautiful, blonde bastard came down the golden escalator and took that movement and gave it a banner and a focal point and a leader, and we had a spectacular four-year run. I say 4 years because from 2015 to 2019, it was great. Donald J. Trump was defeated with the COVID plandemic. And it's pretty demoralizing for most of us, but you have to keep fighting because you live here. As we used to say, get your heads out of your asses because we live here too. But you have to fight in new and smart ways, and you really have to check what you're doing and how you're reacting, because nothing is as it appears, and you can't fight the last war as you move forward into the next one. And the tactics and decisions, geopolitics, and the state of our nation has changed dramatically. Now, it's easy to point fingers at Biden, but he probably wouldn't even know you're pointing fingers at him. And frankly, Biden's not the problem. Biden is a meat puppet for a system that's been going on a long time, a system that has brought you, quote, leader after leader who are nothing but controlled puppets, and a system that did everything that it could and succeeded in thwarting the presidency of Donald John Trump. And I say thwarting because what Trump helped a lot of people do is see that the things you learn in civics class don't work the way you were taught, and exposed a lot of the underlying rot. But it wasn't sufficient to dislodge the system. And it also revealed that the fix is easy. We are a resource-rich country with a lot of, at this point, could be vestigial creative power. But recovery can be very quick. And as Trog and I told you on the show, if you let them defeat Trump, which you did, his victory will be nothing but a provisional speed bump on the road to the completion of the New World Order, which is exactly what's happening. I mean, the spectacular destruction that has been wrought since January 20th, 2021 to this nation is unprecedented, and it shows you how if you have to force everything through executive orders with a non-compliant executive branch, it's just as easy to undo it. In fact, it's easier to undo it. What it took Trump 3 years to build, it took Biden less than 6 months to destroy. And you are downstream from those destructive efforts, and it's only going to get worse from here on in, especially as this global genocide continues to reveal itself. When I say reveal itself, why? Well, because the genocide is more or less already accomplished. It's just that it's a slow, stealth genocide, and the results trickle in. Just in the last 12 months, we have lost over 1,000 young athletes in their 20s, in their early 20s, in their prime. And no one seems to know why. No reason. It could be dehydration, it could be climate change, who knows. But what we do know is that it is not the vaccines. That we know. They've assured us that it is not the vaccines. And they've assured us, by the way,
look,
that
everything in Washington has been a lie.
Well, that's very true. That's true, Mr. President. Everything is a lie. They've assured us that it's transitory inflation. Inflation's good for you. Hey, at least you're not starving. And you're not in a recession, even though technically the definition of recession is two quarters of shrinking GDP. They've revised that. It's newspeak. We're not in a recession anymore. Now, is a recession two contracting quarters of GDP? Well, that depends. What the hell is GDP anyway? I mean, it's a nonsense number that doesn't really measure much of anything. They tell you that, we're a $20 trillion economy. That's our gross domestic product. Well, I mean, what are you counting in that equation? It's all financial manipulated number nonsense, just like our currency. Real wealth is the resources that our Creator has provided mixed with human energy through labor. And that's how wealth is created. But the most precious wealth we have is our own lives and our children. And that is being robbed as conservatives are cheering the Dobbs decision, which reversed Roe v. Wade. Reversed Roe v. Wade, my ass. Anyway, I don't know how long I'm going to do this. If you want to talk to me, call the number is 646-649-1013, 646-649-1013. I just felt it was necessary to come on here and kind of celebrate the 10th anniversary of Liberty's Thunder. And let's look at the stats here. That's 1,302 episodes. No, that's not true. That's 1,302 hours, 484 published episodes, of which probably nobody's listening to now, although when Archpriest Simeon Elias, Butch Robinson, Bond Robin, post them up on his channels, which you can find, Bond Robin on BitChute, Bond Robin on Rumble, and Bond Robin on Gab TV. By the way, get on Gab. A lot of you still follow me on Facebook, where I get banned frequently, although I've been on there for a while without any trouble recently, which is odd. But definitely get on Gab. Rex_Christie, follow me there. Takes a little getting used to the platform, but you can find me and you can follow me. And it's a good tool, and you're supporting somebody who is a patriot, a Christian, fighting for parallel economies and free speech, unlike the other thing I'm on, which is Miles Guo and Jason Miller's Getter, the Twitter killer, cancel culture, although it's pretty much nothing but Chinese bots posing as blondes trying to get you to follow them. It's weird. But in any event, get on Gab. Make sure that you stay in touch as long as there's, you know, electronic communication, which they can turn off at any moment. But, hey, whatever. You got to figure things out for yourselves. But back in the day when we started broadcasting, we had tens of thousands of listeners. Our show was extremely popular. Our live show from Tampa was off the charts, and I think we were doing between three or four different shows. We were doing close to 6 or 7 hours of broadcasting a day leading up to the convention and through the convention. But then we did something crazy. We insulted Fox News, and apparently that was no good for our audience. We touched a third rail. They left. And then, you know, some others came back, but we didn't care. I didn't care that 2014 was coming up and everybody was excited about a Republican victory. I don't know why it mattered, and turned out it really didn't. Nothing really mattered. We started doing shows about various topics helping us figure out how we got into this mess in the first place, until Trump came down the escalator, and that was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. We called Trump early. We were on the Trump train early. We were getting flack from everybody, from Republicans, conservatives, libertarians. Everybody was freaking out. And then everybody got on board, and it was a resounding victory. And now everybody's MAGA, except that nobody's really MAGA anymore, not even Trump. It's pretty pathetic. Rex, you're depressing me. Can you tell us something positive? No, I can't fucking tell you anything positive. There's nothing fucking positive to talk about. What is wrong with you people? It's a fucking disaster out here. And if I call it like it is, I'm being negative. Well, that's a bunch of bullshit, because rose-colored spectacles about how fucking how much hopenosis and hopium you've imbibed to make you think that the situation isn't so bad, and there's still some secret trusty plan out there, fuck you. You're a placated moron. What we're talking about here is an absolute fucking disaster. Now, does that mean you give up hope? Well, no, if you know what hope is. Unfortunately, most of you think hope equates to wishful thinking. Well, wishful thinking is a waste of fucking time. That's the way children think. And if you're children or you're acting like children, probably don't listen to this show. Hope is a virtue infused into you by your Creator. That's what hope is. and you should never not have hope. But to have wishful thinking and to try to call the situation in a more palpable manner than it is just sheer stupidity. Now, there is some room for levity and recreation and maybe even distraction because it is a horrible fucking situation. But you can't pretend that it's not happening. Otherwise, you're useless. Now, I will tell you, one of the reasons I don't do a show often, why I've been absent for a couple of months, is because it's tiresome. It's grating. It is terrible. And this is something I posted a couple of weeks ago. Without love, I am a crashing cymbal and a clanging gong. The struggle I'm having with, I tried to warn you, is excruciating. Every single day, multiple interactions with people who've lost loved ones, quote, suddenly, and or are struggling with idiopathic symptoms of some unknown origin. Give me a fucking break. I'm trying to be charitable, supportive, patient, right? But I told every single one of you that this would fucking happen, and fear trumped my words. And this is only going to get worse. It is a global genocide. It is the great genocide, and it is preceding what is coming next, which is the great famine. Next year is going to be an absolute clusterfuck, even though there's going to be a big red wave in November. Big red wave of fucking Republicans. Now, granted, in some cases, right, some of the stuff Steve Bannon on War Room and the Precinct Project has been doing has been very effective. There's a lot of true America First patriots that have taken over school boards and local precincts and are making some changes, and you'll probably get some candidates who are serious about this, and they might even win a few races, but overwhelmingly the Republican Party is shit and shall remain shit. And the fact of the matter is that electoral politics and any kind of revolution within the form is beyond the scope of reality at this point. That kind of hope is nonsense. The corruption is too endemic and people are way too cucked. The whole thing is going to fall apart. Now, like all empires, it doesn't fall apart overnight. It could be decades in the making even. America still has a lot of steam. But the shift in power globally has started to happen. And the Great Reset isn't going to happen either. But they're going to try to make it happen, and that's going to cause a lot of damage. And you're going to have to pick up the pieces. Every time an empire of this scale falls, everything falls to local survival. That's where you're going. I mean, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not even next year, although it's going to get more and more painful, but it's heading in that direction, and you need to be prepared for that. So I'm not going to give you any kind of rose-colored, hopium and bullshit. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And I'll read a couple of posts of mine. But back in the day when we started this show, I was a different person. That was 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago. I hate talking about myself. I really do. But it's kind of important to point out where I'm coming from. Otherwise, why bother listening to me? And it's just my opinion, right? Back then, that's 2012. So I was a relatively recent convert to Christianity. At that time, I was a Roman Catholic groping around in the Roman Church trying to figure out how the first century apostles built the Roman Catholic Church. And it was difficult to reconcile with what I was seeing, but it was all kind of new to me. Are you actually getting into religion? Well, guess what? Religion is the fundamental basis of how you think. You might not see it that way, but it is absolutely true. And so you need to know how I was thinking to understand some of what I said. You can go back and listen to the shows. I haven't taken any of them down. They're all up there. blogtalkradio.com/libertysthunder, and I probably said some crazy stuff that I would disagree with today, and it'd be fucking embarrassing for me to go back and listen to it. But, growing up as a hedonist, money-seeking, libertarianish individual, right? I really loved libertarianism, the Mises Institute, Mises, Rothbard, all that stuff, because libertarianism at its core, which is an Enlightenment principle, it's classical liberalism. It is what the modern world has been shaped by. Allows you to do whatever the fuck you want to do. It's essentially a Luciferian principle that basically Aleister Crowley summed up quite succinctly. Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And, you know, I wanted to get high, get laid, make money, and frankly, I read all of American history through that lens. But I wanted to study how economics works and why is the Fed here and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, I started reading that stuff, and I came across Mises and Rothbard, Rothbard especially, man. Rothbard was a prolific writer, crazy good stuff. And he kept on referring back historically to the schoolmen. I'm like, who the fuck are the schoolmen? So, you know, reading it, and you realize that he meant the Spanish scholastics and the scholastic thought, and you trace that back, and you find Thomas Aquinas. And it's all very reasonable, very rational, very logical stuff. And it fit. And this is coming off the heels of The True Virtue of Selfishness when I read Ayn Rand, that Russian Jew who came over here and wrote volumes of books, chiefly Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, on her theory of, quote, objectivism, which is not objective at all. But again, when you're a teenager, that kind of stuff makes sense to you and it appeals to you. So, you know, Rothbard kind of tempered my Ayn Randism, and he was a historian, and he kept on coming up, you know, over and over and over again, hitting the Catholic Church. I'm like, why is this Catholic Church all over the place in history? It should have fallen apart, but it didn't. And at that time, when if I read something, quote, Christian or someone referring to God, I kind of cringed, right? I was an atheist slash becoming an agnostic. This is all before the show, by the way. And that stuff bothered me. And the reason it bothered me is because it's so cringe. And frankly, when you look around at most American Christians today, the stuff that comes out of their mouths, it is so fucking cringe. You're not going to convert anybody with that nonsense. And it was easy to tear them apart just because their foundation was so comic book, so caricaturish, that it was easy to rip them apart. And, you know, I feel bad about it now because I probably harmed some people who were probably personally quite pious, but they just had horrible theology. But in any event, so studying this stuff, and it turns out that the monetary theory that led to, quote, capitalism kind of came out of the Catholic Middle Ages. And so I started thinking, huh, maybe this libertarianist stuff has some Christian roots, which it does. I mean, they're not really Christian, but at least in the Catholic world. And so I started looking at the church, and based on history, Western history, it appears that the Roman Catholic Church was the church founded by Christ upon the rock of St. Peter. Makes sense. So started studying and reading catechisms, and I was already baptized, so I was actually in the church. I just hadn't been going, and no one had catechized me. So anyway, I went to the church, and what I read and what I studied was not what I was seeing. It was almost a 180-degree difference. It was fucking bizarre. And so I started groping around trying to figure it out, because if this church is, in fact, the true church built on tradition, then, you know, something's gone wrong. It turned out that was the Second Vatican Council, which if you're not Catholic, you don't even know about it. You really should look it up, because it has a huge impact on all of Western civilization. But you know, then you start twisting your brain into pretzels under, you know, trying to reconcile what you're seeing and experiencing versus what you thought you were looking for. And that's how I found my way into traditional Catholicism, which is as traditional as you can get, going back to the 16th century and the Council of Trent. But even that becomes unsatisfactory. But why am I talking to you about this? I'm talking to you about this because the fundamental presuppositions by which you view things are going to form your thinking and your action. Okay? Word comes before deed, and the presuppositions which you accept for the objective reality in which you are operating will dictate how you react to it and work in it and your human action, your praxis. So understanding that premise and having libertarianish tendencies, and the reason that it's important to look at this from the perspective of religion is because up until our age, religion was the center of just about everything. And we pretend that it isn't, although those who are seeking that elusive neutral objective don't find it because it doesn't exist. And religious tolerance where, you know, all paths lead to the truth is nonsense. But it does shape everything. So when you realize that and you look back at it, you realize that it was the Roman Catholic Church that basically stamped the West, Europe, with the moral authority to do what was done. And the scholasticism, the nominalism that were born of those errors are what gave rise to the acceptance of usury as an economic system, which is the fundamental basis of all the modern economic systems, capitalism, socialism, communism, fascism, what have you. And it's important to note that because that's the invisible system that is controlling resources, which is a way of controlling people, which is a way of controlling human action. On that point, the rational scholasticism is not incorrect. The problem is that it was all Jesuitical casuistry as to how it got a Christian veneer to give moral cover to this nonsense. And that goes from the Habsburg banker, Fugger, to the Medici popes, to the Enlightenment thinkers, to Locke, to Adam Smith, and it's all kind of Darwinian, right, and Hobbesian, and it leads up to what we have in the modern era with Marxism and its flip side, capitalism. And some people don't like this sort of thing, and when you tell them that, they get upset, but that's really where we were. So coming into it and realizing that this country was on a severe downward spiral. Remember, this is 2012, right? So we're talking about a decade after the 9/11 PSYOP. We're talking about two decades after the, quote, fall of the Soviet Union and the American hegemony of, you know, world policemen. And 4 years after George W. Virginia Bush left the scene and handed a totalitarian state to another CIA dipshit construct, Barack Hussein Obama. And stopping him was pretty important, and Mitt Romney wasn't going to do it. And so Tex and I started the show, and it was fun. It was irreverent. There was a lot of cussing. And it was different than most other things out there at the time. Now it's probably not. But and then Tex went on to do other things, and Trog, who was a frequent guest at that time, stepped into the role of co-host and has been that until sometime last year when he decided to do other stuff. And I didn't pursue someone else to help me do this. So sometimes I do shows and sometimes I don't, because a monologue by Rex is probably not the most exciting thing to listen to. A conversation is a lot more fun. If you want to have a conversation with me, call in and we'll might make it a little more exciting, 646-649-1013. I doubt that anybody will, because most of you don't know that this show is happening. You probably won't find it until after I've stopped broadcasting and after Bond Robin has uploaded it on his channels. But that's fine. I can talk for a while until I get bored, and then I'll leave. But I'm trying to put it in context for you, because that was the impetus for the show. And a lot of things have changed since then, but a lot haven't. A lot of things have changed, but a lot haven't. I've changed a lot, right? I'm no longer a Roman Catholic. I'm actually an Orthodox catechumen at this point. And that's pretty important, and I'd rather be talking about that than this nonsense. But the reason for that is that the presuppositions which dictate how you look at things are predicated on truth or lie. That's it. It's very stark. You either humbly seek truth, and that will form your rational faculty in a way that allows you to act in the world in the manner that you ought, or your presuppositions are a lie, in which case acting as you ought will be almost impossible. And every one of us has presuppositions because we don't know everything, and as Immanuel Kant pointed out, we can't know everything. So we have to have some kind of fundamental assumption about how things work before our rational mind and logical thinking can help us navigate our way through life. Okay? And the most difficult thing for a human being to do, the most difficult thing for a human being to do is admit that I was wrong. Because it's humbling. Because to admit that you were wrong means that you were acting off something that is erroneous in an erroneous manner, and that is a slap in the face to your egotistical inclinations. And that is precisely why we have what we have in the world today, because if we did something stupid in the past, like vote for George W. Vagina Bush or support the invasion in Iraq or took the vaccine because we thought, oh, I really want to travel even though I'm not really sure what's in this, or anything that we've done in the past based on some stupid notion that has turned out to be a complete clusterfuck, if you can't admit that you were wrong and then try to do better going forward, if you defend that error, if you plant that flag in the past and rally around it, like, I'm a Republican, so I'm always going to vote Republican because the Democrats are crazy liberals. Well, the Republicans are crazy liberals. The Democrats are just beyond crazy. But it's all the same bullshit. You won't be able to advance. You won't be able to perceive truth. You won't be able to apprehend truth. And you won't be able to do what is right. And that's why we have the problem that we have. People defending their errors and missing the point. Because the world as we understand it is a very crafty illusion. And until you sift through that bullshit, you won't be able to see what really is. I'm going to read you a couple of posts that I put this week just because I think they're interesting. Otherwise, I wouldn't have posted them. And maybe some of you don't follow me on Facebook or Gab, which is, you really should. I mean, I'm not encouraging anybody to get on Facebook. It's a shit platform. In fact, I'm only on Facebook because of this show. I'm only on Twitter to do this show. Actually, I didn't have any social media until Newt Gingrich said, tweet 250 guests. And I thought it was so important at that time to find someone other than who they wanted, which is Mitt Romney, to go against Barack Obama, that I did, in fact, get on Twitter and tweet the guests and a whole bunch of other stuff where I got obliterated and kicked off Twitter. I had, I think, four or five accounts, and now I'm banned on all of those accounts on Twitter. And guess what? Elon Musk has not brought me back. Fucking morons, if you think that that prick is going to save you. Twitter is a psyop by the intelligence services to create trends. And to that extent, so is Facebook in some way. But anyway, I'm still on Facebook sometimes. Most of the time I get banned, but I am on Gab. But anyway, so what did I post? I posted, the new world order is not being dismantled. It is being fulfilled. Because I think I've been hearing rumors, you know, the new world, the globalism is shifting, blah, blah. Okay. But if you keep focusing on the wrong things because your fundamental understanding is predicated on irrational myth based on a lie, the order becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Personal and social dynamics are not predetermined. They are not static. You cannot be passive. You cannot escape the unfolding of consequences for your decisions. And to quote Rush, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. Build Back Better is bullshit. We all know that. I mean, at least anybody listening to this show does. Build Back Better is a bullshit for completing the system already in place that most choose to pretend doesn't exist. When they exclude you from mobility, commerce, and especially food, you'll figure it out. Of course, then it would be too late. If you think you can escape this because you are ideologically aligned with the ruling oligarchy, which means you're probably not listening to this show, but if you think so, you're very mistaken. The useful idiots are often the first taken to the wall because unlike those who are openly opposed to the order, this is mostly to the Democrats, your disappointment makes you more prone to destabilizing their plans, but you'll be fooled by the phase in which the instability that you are participating in is useful for synthesizing the dialectic. Then all of a sudden you are no longer useful. But here's the thing, none of this is inevitable, but you pretend that it is. And by pretending that it is, it will be. This is where a lot of American Christians really fuck things up. I read the last chapter. We win. There's no question that God wins. That's not the point of life. The point of life is for you to be a winner. And if you're passive about it, you're not going to win. You only get one chance to do this. Do it right. If you're fatalistic, triumphalistic, defeatist, If you think that destiny is something that is the unfolding of action in a predestined way where the end result is already determined, you're wrong.
Oh, Rex, that's not true. God is omniscient. He knows everything, so he knows the outcome. But you're not God, and neither am I. God knows the outcome. God has seen and sees everything. We don't. What you do matters to where you're going, and it is a dynamic situation. But it's much easier to be passive and be controlled, because when you swim against the tide, you get friction. That hurts, and it's uncomfortable. Learn to like it. It is easier to control 500 million people than it is to slaughter 7.5 billion people. But we think the price is worth it because world peace. Most won't believe this is an actual plan until after it happens, which means it is irrelevant. See, dialectics are a closed system of perpetual progression. If you don't open your mind to the truth, you are in that perpetual dialectic of thesis, antithesis, synthesis, and then the synthesis becomes the new thesis, and we get another antithesis, and so on and so on, and it just unravels. There is a global genocide going on. People are dying every single fucking day. It is emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually like a sledgehammer to the balls. But it's happening, and you have to deal with it. You can't ignore it. Now, you do need a break every now and then because it is a heavy, heavy burden, and you cannot carry it alone, and you cannot carry it without the grace of God. But you have to acknowledge it is happening. You have to. And you have to tell people about it. Now, I'm not saying that when somebody tells you, oh, my uncle who got the vaccine died prematurely at 55. Oh, dumbass, why did he take the vaccine? You got to be compassionate. Nice. But what I'm saying is if you're not pointing it out to people, especially people that are still going out there to get these things, especially those who are jabbing it into kids, got to tell them. Got to tell them. How long have I been doing this? 45 minutes. All right, we'll go a couple more minutes. I'll read a couple more of these posts. Another one I posted is, we are entering the age of artificial idiocy, synthetic syncretism, and transmogrified unhumanity. You are being told that you love it, but it will totally suck. Now, when I say something like that, it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. It just means that right now all of the pieces are lined up for that to happen. Now, some things that are about to unfold are inevitable because their foundation was laid long ago and they're just about to burst forth. But other things are not inevitable. We can change the path, but we have to have courage
and we have to adhere to truth. Truth. And it is something that I got to tell you, we're really not doing. And I'm not accusing you because I don't know that I'm doing it. I'm more aware than ever now that I'm not. Because, you see, you can think rationally about all these things and you can study history. The fact of the matter is that life is an experience and truth is an experience. But you got to know what you're looking for or you won't be able to experience it because you are the receiver of truth. And the mode in which you receive it will dictate whether it is flourishing within you or whether you are stymieing it or, worse, extinguishing truth. And, yeah, I'm a jerk. I'm mean. I say things. I cuss. I make you feel bad. Well, sometimes you need that kick in the pants. This is another thing that I posted, and I think this is very important, and you should really pay attention to it. Because when you repeat stupid, comfortable, and familiar slogans, you're really saying, I'm an idiot, and I'm trying to cope with the change of reality. Now, most of you would agree with that statement. Left, right, libertarian, Christian, non-Christian, you would agree with that statement. When you repeat stupid, comfortable, and familiar slogans, you are really saying, I'm an idiot, and I'm trying to cope with the challenge of reality. The problem is that you won't think that the things you're saying are slogans, just the things that people say that are slogans that you disagree with are stupid and make them an idiot. Well, I'm not really concerned with the lunatic fringe that gets all the media attention. I'm far more concerned with you, the sane, rational, normal people who know that things are falling apart. Because you say stuff like, America is a Christian nation. Bullshit. Bullshit. First of all, your government has two major exports to the world, other than democracy delivered at the end of a gun. Sodomy and usury. Sodomy and usury. And if you know anything about history, God obliterated two cities in the Middle East for sodomy and usury. Now you say, well, that's just the New World Order people in our government. It's not us. Well, you tolerated it. You believed it when you said, we just want to get married. And now they're chopping off your boys' penises before they get in kindergarten. They are taking your young girls to trans-testicle library hour with perverts who dress like flamboyant women but will rape your girls. How did we get here? Because you were under the impression that we were a Christian nation. You might even go to church every Sunday. Heck, you might go on Wednesday too. But what is church? Some kind of Bible study group where you read scriptures written by Judaized pastors, Stand with Israel, and, the Schofield Bible, and you're eagerly awaiting the rapture. I'm going to be one of the ones raptured. God is going to take me up into the air when Jesus is coming the second time, before he comes again the second time. Oh, Rex, you're insulting me. You don't know what you're talking about. I do know what I'm talking about. Trust me. One of the reasons I didn't become a Christian was because of that rapture nonsense. Give me a fucking break. That's magical thinking, folks. It doesn't exist. When the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Justice returns, he's not going to be the kind, meek, gentle Jesus. He's coming to judge. And he ain't coming here to sit on a throne and run your government, you fucking idiot, for 1,000 years. When he comes back, it's not going to be a 42 months and another 42 months and a 7-year tribulation. I'm not saying that that shit's not going to happen, but he's not going to be here for that, I mean, other than the way that he's already here. But when he comes on the clouds, it's going to be in an instant. It is the day of the Lord and is instantaneous. And then everything ends. And we are all called to judgment. Those of us that haven't already been called to judgment. And in the midst of this genocide, we may not be seeing the second coming for a while. Because we might be going to meet Jesus before he ever comes back. And we got to be ready. America is not a Christian nation. America was founded as an Enlightenment Masonic nation that had mostly a pious Christian population that was mired in theological errors, not of their own doing, with multiple factions by design, and that personal piety and our guns is the only thing that has saved us so far. But don't give me this nonsense about it's a Christian nation. And even if you believe at some point in the past it was, I mean, keep in mind, most of the, quote, founding fathers were not Christians. They were deists and Freemasons. So even if you thought we were in the past at some point a Christian nation, we are definitely not that today. Now, is that important? Hell yes, it's important. Because unless you become a Christian nation, the corruption which you are lamenting and experiencing isn't going to go away. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. The other one that I get, the trope, is we're a republic, not a democracy. Give me a fucking break. I'm so sick of hearing that. And the ones that believe it will cling to it like with such passion. I just got booted off my own show. But I think I'm back. I have no idea. No one's here to tell me, except Gator. Gator, if you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. And thank you for being here and listening. If I'm done, I'm done, but hopefully I'm back on. And I don't know what the hell I was talking about. Oh, yeah, republic versus democracy. We are a democratic republic, allegedly. Okay, let's face it. What you live in isn't is a tyrannical oligarchy. But theoretically, it is a democratic republic. Republic is a public government as opposed to an inherited government like a monarchy, right? An inherited monarchy, because there are public monarchies. And we use, quote, democratic processes to elect our, quote, legislatures and leaders, right? That's the theory anyway, okay? China is a republic. In the past, you had the Republic of Rome, you had the Athenian Democratic Republic, and that's really exciting because in Athens, the voting men of the Republic were men, and they were free men. Well, in Athens were women who didn't vote and slaves. So don't point fingers at 1619, America's built in slavery. This is the way humanity has been forever, okay? And you have even monarchies in the past that are actually republics. Poland, the Republic of Novgorod in Russia, right, was a republic where the elites, the oligarchs of the town, would vote for the prince. So they had a prince, a monarch, who was elected by the powerful people in town to look after their interests, right? So this whole, you know, republic democracy thing, it's tiresome. And it's especially tiresome because we are neither democratic nor republican anymore. I mean, yes, we live in a republic. Technically, the United States is a republic. It's a public government. But it's a public oligarchy run by private interests who essentially operate from the shadows, and then there's a public apparatus that gives them cover. Till you accept these facts, they are facts. This isn't conspiracy theory. This isn't Alex Jones ranting. This is real. And actually, on that point, what they're doing to Alex right now, what they're doing to Steve Bannon right now, these are really important things to pay attention to. They have weaponized the justice system through lawfare. And it's been like this for a long time. But it's just that now they're making their move against their enemies, those that are rabble-rousers, those that might help another Trumpian problem for them. And, you know, whether you agree with obviously not everything, but whether you agree with most of what Alex Jones does on InfoWars or Steve Bannon does on War Room is not the point. The point is, when they can deplatform somebody, when they can shut somebody down, when they can indict somebody, when they can convict somebody of non-crimes, now we're living in the Gulag. This is the Gulag system. They're going to get all the Kulaks. They're going to make us all Zeks. And they're going to have show trials to punish people so that you will modify your behavior to suit their purposes as they treat you like chattel. They'll kill you when they want. They'll rob you when they want. They will steal from you when they want. They will take your children. They will do whatever they want. And they're going to do it central bank digital currencies. Why do you think they got you on just-in-time delivery, subscription model, constant upgrades? Because they don't want you to have anything. They want everything to be in the cloud. They want everything to be a rental program based on digital social credit units so that if you veer out of line, they'll just turn you off. Now, initially, they'll just turn off your access, but they can also turn you off. They can liquidate you. That's how it's always worked in the past, and that's how it'll work in the future if you let it happen. The other one is, we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth ever. Now, look, I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I love my country. I love most of my countrymen. I suppose I love all of them, but got to tell you, some of you are fucking unlovable as fuck. But loving your country, loving your countrymen, is not necessarily saying that you're the greatest nation the earth has ever seen. It's not, because you're not. I'm not saying that we don't do some awesome things, and I'm not saying that it isn't right to be proud of being an American. But to fall for the myth so that way when you say we're the greatest and you look back at all of the errors that were embedded into the system from the beginning, you will champion those errors as greatness. And you will fall for the lie of the American dream, which is always sold as some kind of materialist, you know, fantasy. Two-car garage and, you know, nice retirement, 401k, 2.5 kids and a dog, you can grill in the backyard, that kind of like suburban, idyllic 1950s thing, right? That's not what the American dream is. The true American dream, not the experiment that they gave us, but the dream, what people left all corners of the world and came here for, was liberty, the opportunity to make of your life what you will, the opportunity to live in truth, the opportunity to raise a family in truth. That's the real dream. And frankly, that's not uniquely American. That's a human dream. It's just rarely realized. And the brief flight towards that dream that we've enjoyed is coming to an end. Don't hold on to the models of the past because they are being dismantled. You're going to have to build something new, and that's very scary, very unfamiliar, very daunting. But that's what we have to do. That's what we're called to do. That's why we're here. The other one is, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, no fucking shit. If you're not a conspiracy theorist at this point, you are worthless. Now, there are conspiracy theories and conspiracy theories, but the fact of the matter is there are conspiracies, and most of them are right now open in your face. How can they be conspiracies? Well, because when they were concocted, they were criminal conspiracies concocted in the darkness. But now they're manifest. But what we keep hearing is conspiracy theorists, the term coined by the CIA in order to get you to not talk about the things they don't want you to talk about. You're not supposed to talk about Operation Northwoods. You're not supposed to talk about Mockingbird. You're not supposed to talk about Lockstep, Cladex, Event 201. I mean, heck, even Trump recently just ventured into 9/11 truthing again. Very good stuff. Unfortunately, you know, there's other problems. I don't want to get into it today, get myself all pissed off. But the fact of the matter is that there are conspiracies, and then there are false conspiracies. That's why the Q PSYOP was so powerful, the Flat Earth conspiracy. They always put out more bullshit than necessary so they can discredit it and in that process sweep up the truth along the process. See, you veered from the official narrative, so they go to the extreme that is easily disprovable and so many people fall for it. Then when you discredit that, you say all of this other stuff is nonsense. Let's go back to the mean, which is the mainstream PSYOP. One of those PSYOPs is for you Christians out there who are, I believe in the Bible alone. Good for you. The Bible doesn't say that, but that's fine. Scripture is important. What happened to Jesus? Because he didn't write the Bible. If anything, Jesus alone would work, except that, you know, God is three persons. The Bible is a liturgical icon, and when you turn it into an idol, you're setting yourself up for false prophets, false messiahs, and false Christianity, and therefore you've already lost the spiritual weapons in the war that is being waged right now. And you also look very silly. So get over yourself and dig into some real truth, because we got work to do, and it's a bleak situation. And one of the ways that they get you, right, is they get you with these things that you find comfortable, and so they kind of they give you this wrong idea, right? And then they put it in the dialectic against that wrong idea, which yields an even more erroneous idea. In the modern age, it's a dialectic of false choices. This choice has always been between truth and lie, between life and death. It is an absolute choice. There is no common ground between truth and lie. There is no common ground between life and death. These are irreconcilable dialectics. These things have no commonality whatsoever. See, but the problem is we're broken. All of us. Broken, so we can't make good choices, at least not consistently, and definitely not unaided. Now, that doesn't make us gray, and it doesn't make reality black and white. Reality is not black and white. Reality is much more confused than that, because the entire cosmos is weeping because of the errors of our first parents. The entropy is built into it because of the deviation from truth. Reality is far more dynamic, and we are far more competent than we care to admit. We have more competency than we care to admit. We limit ourselves. And we're also much more broken than we believe. We're so much more wounded than we acknowledge. And each one of us is a mess. But that doesn't mean we have to mess up other people. And that's what these dialectics are about. Get us into conflict with each other so that the bad guys can flourish. See, material dialectics are designed to get you to mess each other up so that the middle managers of the present darkness can live well for a while at your expense. And everyone pays the price. That's the reality. And, you know, you have to challenge it, you have to conquer it, or submit to it and die. I, for one, not submitting. That's a very American thing to do. When they tell you to submit, you go tell them to fuck themselves. That's how it works. That's what we have to do. And we have to learn to speak clearly. Right? Because words matter. Real words matter. This is another post I did, right? This word is a word, and that word is also a word. Sometimes this word and that word can mean the same thing. Sometimes this word and this word can mean different things. And sometimes that word and that word can mean almost the same thing, but also a different thing. This word and that word are necessary for communication, but this word and that word are also insufficient. Context matters, and above all else, truth matters. Word. And the reason this is important is because we use a lot of words to mean different things. Like we're quibbling over the definition of recession. Does it fucking matter to you if we have 2/4 of GDP and that's a recession, or 2/4 of negative GDP is leaning into recession? Does it really fucking matter to you when 2 years ago, the average price, $2.12, and today it's $4.40. Does it matter to you if we're in recession or not when you're paying 100% more for gas? Not only are you paying 100% more for gas, but you're paying a shitload more for everything that gas delivers, makes, and provides, including electricity for your hybrid electric vehicle. Does it matter if we're technically in a recession or technically not in a recession when you've lost 15% of your purchasing power in the last 12 months? Does it matter if we're technically in a recession or not in a recession when the average American family is spending $6,000 more this year on the same shit that they bought last year, and they can get less of it now than they did then, and it's harder to find? And in the meantime, for lack of a better word, Biden is sending $60 billion to be laundered in Ukraine in a futile war against Russia, while also forgiving the student loans of the wealthy little pricks who went to college to learn how to chop their dicks off, bitches, to screaming, violent, nasty-looking bitches who put vaginas on their heads. And if you think that this isn't intended to piss you off and to let you know, hey, guess what? We can fuck with everything and there's nothing you can do about it to get you to be demoralized. That's the whole point of it, is to demoralize you. Because if you knew the power that you had and what would happen if you organized and coalesced and rose up, you would be blown away by what could happen. You haven't done it. We thought that the MAGA movement was that rise, and it really wasn't. It could have been. It was magnificent, but it was really just a start, and then COVID came along, and you hunkered down like whiny little bitches, put your fucking masks on, and bought a bunch of fucking toilet paper, and bitched at anybody that pointed out the truth. And you blew the whole thing. You blew it. You fucking blew it. 160 million of us own 400 million guns, larger than any standing army. If you rise up, you can't be stopped, but you won't. Now, I'm not saying you won't as in we're not going to. I'm just saying you won't if you don't change your thinking. And how can you change your thinking? Well, you got to start realizing that some of the shit that you're promoting and defending and trying to fight for is not the shit that you should be promoting and defending and fighting for. You got to fight for something new, something real. That requires effort. I mean, it's not going to be easy. No one's going to give this to you. You got to keep in mind what's actually happening around you, which is scary. And it can lead to paralysis. But you have to acknowledge it, right? Globally, right now. Look, you cling on to the things that you have because you're afraid of losing them, right? That's a natural human survival mechanism because we're all going to die, okay? But you have to realize that you don't have that much to lose anymore. Birth rates around the world have plummeted 10 to 30%. 10 to 30%. And excess mortality is up 50 to 175% since the mRNA serum vaccines were rolled out and pseudo-mandated. Everyone was, oh, I have to take it. No one had to fucking take it. They just made you think that you did, and you were cucked enough to do it, and now so many of you have it. Luckily, half the fucking bullshit out there was placebo, so there's a 50% chance that you haven't been destroyed yet. The rest of you, if you've taken this shit, then you got to figure out how to mitigate the injuries. Some of them can't be mitigated, right? So that's where we are. That's what's happened, right? And then, you know, the Supreme Court hands down the Dobbs decision, and pro-lifers are, yay, and pro-abortion is like, woo. If your birth rates have plummeted 10 to 30%, you don't need abortion. Because the babies aren't being conceived in the first place. And if they are, miscarriages are up right now 650%. 650%! babies being conceived and dying. Now, they're not dying of natural causes. They're not dying because of anything. They're dying because their mothers and fathers put that biologic bullshit in their body, and they can't hold a baby. And that's horrible. This is the great genocide. The great famine is next. And then they're going to try to push you towards that great reset. Yeah, by 2030, you will own nothing, and you will love it. Yeah. It's fantastic. Klaus Schwab has already developed the plan. You will own nothing, and you'll love it. But because you don't have to worry about these things. Don't have to worry about 401ks and Social Security and saving money and buying a home and driving a car. We will take care of you. You just submit to our rule. Fuck you. Now, what is the Great Reset? Well, it's the false industrial revolution. It's the transhumanist evolution. It is stakeholder capitalism. I got an argument with a few people this week, one on Facebook, a couple other places, about capitalism. Now, you're talking, like I told you earlier, libertarian, Murray Rothbard, anarcho-capitalist. Ideologically and in practice when I was younger before I did this show. So I know what I'm talking about. Now, you know, when I say libertarian, I'm not some douchebag that joined the Libertarian Party or just, you know, put on my Ron Paul t-shirt. I read Human Action. I read Man, Economy, and State. I imbibed on that stuff and I applied it. And believe me, made a lot of money too. Lost a lot of money too. The term capitalism didn't come into use until Karl Marx wrote, and he pitted capitalism against communism. Now, he's not the father of capitalism, he just coined the term. Technically, the father of capitalism, I mean, one could argue, is the Medici's and Fugger, but let's just go back to Adam Smith, a century before Marx. Adam Smith is called the father of capitalism because he took his theory in order to justify the concept before it was called capitalism. For the purpose of creating moral cover for capitalism in Christian societies after the end of feudalism and the advent of industrialization. And what was he providing cover for? He was providing cover for the employment of usury in order to consolidate wealth and power under monopoly control in a Darwinistic, Hobbesian manner. That's the capitalist-communist dialectic, socialist, whatever you want to call it, whatever the fucking labels are, right? It doesn't really matter what you call it, but that's what the terms are, right? But it is that fight, that dialectic is false. Capitalism is designed to fail. When you have enough debt and you've consolidated enough monopolies, capitalism collapses. And the people are disaffected, and then someone comes along and gives them a little red book and says, hey, look, they've robbed you. Let's have a socialist revolution. And the socialist revolution necessitates the dictatorship of the proletariat, and we have to put communism in place until we can wash out all the bourgeoisie, right? And then, after that brief dictatorship, which, you know, going to be tough to get through, but we'll get through it. That's what they told the Soviet, every five-year plans for 70 fucking years in the Soviet Union, still doing it in China, until the eschatological advent of an anarcho-capitalist libertarian paradise. Oh, what? Yes. Read Das Kapital. After the dictatorship of the proletariat, the state is abolished, and we enter into Eden. That's what Marx promised. It's an anarcho-capitalist libertarian paradise, which never comes. It never arrives. It's on the horizon. It's always promised. If you just ration your food a little bit more, if you just let us put a few more subversives in the gulag, if you just, you know, silence yourself, if you just forget a little more history, if you just stop praying, it'll be right around the corner. That's the game. And that's what the great reset of stakeholder capitalism is. which is really nothing more than a few ascended masters typically controlling the remnant of the masses and owning all the means of production. All the means of production. Land, resources, energy, and labor. You know what happens when you own the means of production, including labor? That's a slave society. In other words, it's a scientistic techno-feudalism. It is a scam. It is a lie. It is their dream. It is what they're trying to foist upon us. And if you allow it to happen, you will suffer like you've never suffered. You have no other option. You either fight against it or you submit to it. That's it. That's your current dialectical choice. But too high, they won't risk losing the little that they have. And until they've lost the little that they have, they won't think the cost has become too high. But desolation approaches. It's not too late to stop it. It is late. It's not too late to stop it. But you got to start thinking in a whole new way. We need a whole new thinking here. A whole new thinking. All right, I think I've gone on long enough. Does anybody want to talk to me other than Gator chatting with me? I'll give it another 10 minutes. I'll wrap up. 646-649-1013. Yeah, 1013. So 646-649-1013. You're right, Gator. It is a Jewish idea. And folks, oh, you're anti-Semitic. No. No, it's a Jewish idea in the sense that you have to realize something, and this is not anti-Semitic, this is fact, okay? And we're not talking about, you know, your average Jew. We're not talking about someone like Dr. Zelenko, God rest his soul. We're not talking about, we're talking about the ideology. Judaism, really Phariseeism, right? The Pharisees were the liturgical priests of the religion revealed by God, and fulfilled in Christ. And once that religion was fulfilled in Christ, the Messiah, God himself, the liturgos, he became the high priest. And all the liturgical worship that goes along with the Old Testament religion is fulfilled in Christ, in his mystical body, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And by Catholic, I mean of the whole and right believing church, not Frank's church in Rome. Okay? That's the fulfillment. And after that, quote, Judaism no longer had the temple, no longer had sacrifice, no longer had a priesthood. It became rabbinical Judaism, broke up into a whole bunch of different schools, and it's a new religion. It's younger than Christianity, and it's a little older than Islam, but they have a lot of similarities. But essentially, it is the Midrash, the discussion of the Talmud and all the stuff that follows upon, has a veneer of being tied to the Old Testament, which is fulfilled in the New Testament. But it has that veneer, and really what it's promoting is a very human, man-made idea of the eschaton being here and now without the Messiah. That's really what it comes down to. And usury, sodomy, abortion, all the ills that are facing the modern world are perfectly in line with that system. And that's what we're looking at. Now, some people believe these things and aren't Jewish, and some people believe these things, quote, are Jewish, but that's besides the point. This is not an ethnic thing. And actually, the whole race, ethnic thing is just so tired. I mean, you look back through history, and just about every empire, every polity, every city-state, every country, every nation has always been to some degree multi-ethnic. It is more about its adherence to truth or its deviation from it than anything else. And really get over yourselves and quit nitpicking about the stupid little bullshit and playing tribal games of nonsense when we are, in fact, dealing with a global cosmic problem. That's really what we're looking at. Hey, it looks like we do have a caller, so maybe I get to have some fun. We'll see. Let's see. Area code 407, you are live with Rex. Who's this and what's on your mind?
Nathan in Orlando. I'm sitting here listening to earlier when you said, I'm going to sum up what you say. We are almost at that point of no return, but we can turn it around. I got to ask, how can we turn it around if our response is going to be the Republicans that do this? I'm looking here at some of the names you got wrote from your 2012, you know, reminder of when you started. They got yep. Mitt Romney, Obama, okay, and Newt Gingrich. That's all the same. Ron Paul, he's in there too, because Ron Paul, while he sounds great, he pretended to be against Social Security, voted against, well, said he was against it, but then voted for it. And Newt Gingrich got contract with America, the very first promise said we will write a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does, and they had a majority in both houses and didn't have enough numbers to pass it. I don't know where ever got the idea they're already above the Constitution, the people, and the law. Mitt Romney, I don't know if you know this, but I live on I-4, or the I-4 corridor, and every time an election's coming up and the Republicans will move talk show hosts around. In 2012, Mitt Romney owns Clear Channel and iHeartRadio. They moved Michael Savage and Rusty Humphreys off, and they moved these other people in. Now they're moving other people like this. Dana Lash, they've moved her in here recently. And you know, there is no pop. There, we got one party. You know, they ran on, in 2012, the Republicans ran on, we need a majority in the Senate to be able to stop Obamacare, and they voted 100-0 for it.
Yep.
How
and
do we
and
turn
even
this
even
thing
when
back
even
around?
When they got Trump, when they had the majority in both houses and Trump, remember, John McCain came out there and made sure that it stuck around. And that's exactly what happened with Newt Gingrich in the contract with America. Newt got all that stuff passed through the House. And whatever they didn't like, the establishment didn't like, Bob Dole killed it in the Senate. That's why we didn't get a balanced budget amendment. And that'll always be the case.
But,
the thing that I think we have to realize is that first of all, no one's going to win except if they want them to win. We saw that. We've known that, but we especially saw it in November of 2020. Trump's victory was so massive that – because remember, in 2016, we beat the cheat. We turned out so much that they couldn't rig it enough and fast enough to defeat him. And remember, in 2016, he won by 89,000 votes in five counties. And that's why Hillary was in such shock that she didn't win, because it was her race. Well, in 2020, they figured it out. Now, here's the thing. The numbers were so much bigger, they had to fabricate 81 million votes, or, you know, add on to what he really had, make it 81 million votes for Biden, that it was statistically impossible, and it's absolutely evidence that they rigged the whole election. And, of course, you know, it's a conspiracy. You repeat it enough, some people might believe it. But it's evident to anybody who looks at the statistics and the numbers that there is no voting the way we have the system now. So let's be clear about a couple of things. The elections are completely rigged, and in November, the Republicans are going to pick up a massive victory. And like you said, so what? So what?
Yeah.
They're not going to stop.
Well, you know, in 2020, and the people missed this, in 2020, Trump on Twitter had 88.7 million followers. And we know some of those people are just there gathering information, not all are supporters. But he had 88.7 million. Biden had 8.3 million, you know, and nobody was looking at that. I'm sitting there going, that's – you know, that would be a case maker there, because, you know, but we got our minds locked in on what we want, and we're not listening to anything. I gave up on the Republicans. Part of this thing, Newt Gingrich, you know, everybody looks at him like he's running around in the last 4 years catching spears in the media, protecting Trump, you know, agreeing with Trump, but all the policies Trump got elected for, Gingrich was the one that pushed them things through. He got George Daddy Bush's executive order 12803 that gave us this global economy and gave up our sovereignty that allows China to come in here and buy land right next to an Air Force, you know, and Air Force base, and so you know, I'm done with the Republicans.
Let's go back to your initial question, because I agree with you on that point, right? I mean, you know, look, I'm not saying that voting doesn't work sometimes in some places and that you shouldn't try. I mean, the precinct project is good, because if you can actually take over the Republican apparatus, you might be able to change the voting laws. And look at what's happening in Pennsylvania with Doug Mastriano. He might be able to actually get the system. Look at what's happening in Arizona. So you got to rebuild the building blocks of an electoral system from the ground up. That's not going to happen in one election cycle. It's not going to happen with the help of the RNC and Rona McDaniel. You have to do the heavy lifting. But to your point about what do we do if it's not that, our problem right now is not an electoral problem. We can't fix this by voting. We can't rely on Republicans or Democrats or anybody in, quote, office to fix any of these problems. We have to do it. It has to be a local effort. It has to be coordinated. You have to do what you can. Taking over the precincts is good. Taking over the school boards is another. But the problem that we have is so far bigger that it's not an issue of fixing it using the current system as it is. That's why, like Andrew Torba, the owner of Gab, he keeps talking about parallel economies. We're going to have to learn how to trade with each other and feed each other and provide for each other in a parallel system from the one they're putting in place. That's the stuff that has to happen.
Which means hard
times. Does that make sense?
Which means hard times.
Oh, no question. But
you know
what?
When you got bartering as a part of the economy, then we have a collapsed economy.
Yeah, now we can go beyond bartering. We can actually have currency. We just have to... You know, look, essentially, you're already a criminal just by being alive. The way that the system is set up right now, the quote justice system, you're already a criminal. So we're all outlaws, which means that we have to find ways to take care of each other without playing into the system. And is it going to be hard times? You betcha. I mean, it hasn't even really started, but it's sort of started, but it's going to get much worse. And sometimes that's a good thing. I'm not looking forward to hard times. I'm not saying we should bring about hard times. But sometimes it's a good thing, because sometimes that's what brings out the best in human beings. It also brings out the worst. But it can't get much worse than a global genocide. And so the hard times that are ahead might be our way of building something real from the ground up. Now, if you're like me and you're in the second half of your life, you might not see the fruits of this. But we have to look to the future. But I do appreciate you calling in.
Okay.
Take care. Anybody else want to chat with me? Or should I go into a wrap-up and a close? And I really do appreciate Nate from Orlando calling in. Because, you know, we have to edify each other. And we have to strengthen each other, and we have to remind each other. And him bringing up, you know, all the negative stuff that Newt Gingrich did, well, I don't disagree with that. But in the context of 10 years ago, you look at what was available at the time, and, you know, we knew that there were some problems with the electoral system, but we didn't know it as much as they are now. Now, they were there, but we just didn't know. Some of us did, but most of us didn't, about fractional voting and the optical scanners and all this stuff. The last two elections have brought that stuff out in the open. That's a good thing. It sucks, but it's a good thing that it's more people are aware of it. But in the context at the time, Newt Gingrich was the only one who even moved the needle in the other direction. Now, Newt did a whole lot of stupid stuff, too, and said a lot of stupid things lately, too. However, Newt was the one that pointed out initially back in 2015 why they hated Trump. He said he's not them. He's uncontrollable. He didn't belong to the secret societies. He doesn't know their secret handshakes. But what they did was they encircled Trump with incompetence like General Flynn and with operators like Mike Pompeo and Mark Meadows and what's the other, Kelly and all that stuff, Priebus. Gorka, right? So they neutralized him, but he got to do some amazing things and show us how quickly we could turn the ship around, but they effectively neutralized him. You're not going to fix these problems by voting. You're not going to fix these problems by pushing a button on an iPad, and as Nate said, hard times are ahead. And look, as far as electoral systems, we knew. We knew back then.
You know, in some ways, we kind of had to steal the Republican nomination because our party...
There's Mitt Romney admitting he had to steal the Republican nomination so that he could hand the election to Obama. Then Trump came along and things got ugly. And now, you know, things are getting uglier. We're being punished for having foisted Trump upon them. But the problems that we have are so much bigger and deeper than an electoral system. And you're going to have to learn to start thinking differently about how you live your life. You need to form communities that can assist each other as this whole thing deteriorates on a scale. Now, is it possible that it's a dynamic situation? Is it possible that something happens that changes this? Yes. You can't count on it. But it could happen. That doesn't change what you're doing at the moment. At the moment, you got to work on what you know and what you can. You got to have enough material supplies, enough food. You have to be able to help each other. You have to help with taking care of the ill and the elderly and all this kind of stuff. Because in a genocidal system like we're in right now, anybody who's not an economic productive unit is fit for slaughter. You have to realize these things. When they start turning off the food supply and people get hungry, now you're going to see what people are really like. And like I said, it could bring out the best in humans, but it also brings out the worst. It brings out the worst and the best. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it's always going to be, because broken human nature hasn't changed since we were evicted from the garden. Now, when I say that, the nature that you possess. But if you are baptized into the body of Christ and sealed with the Spirit, you can slowly begin to become a new man, because human nature has been healed. It's just that it doesn't happen that each of us personally gets that healing. We have to work and participate in it. But we can be healed, and we can be nodes of healing for others. That's the whole point of where we are now. But you can't do it alone, and you certainly cannot do it without the grace of Jesus Christ. Because he, divine person, condescended to take on a human nature and heal it in his person and then descend into hell and conquer death so that you can live forever with him. But you have to choose that. He's not going to impose it upon you. And it's hard for us to do so because we live in a very complicated and confusing world. And I want you to understand something. They're destroying things, and they're finding people to blame for it. Now, chiefly, that's why they have Biden. They're going to blame him for everything. But they're also going to blame January 6th insurrectionists and MAGA terrorists and Christian nationalists. Right, they're going to wreck things, and then they're going to try to blame those who are thwarting their program of death and destruction.
And a lot of people will fall for it. You have to stand up to that. This is how they did it in every totalitarian society. You could read about it in the fictions like Orwell's 1984 and Huxley's Brave New World. You can read about it in Solzhenitsyn's book, right? And in fact, I'm going to read this part real quick, and then I'll use it to wrap up. The general line of the party, the destruction of the Kulaks, is correct. They had time while awaiting execution to deliver themselves of judgments about everything, and the repenting intellectuals even had enough voice for such a prophecy as this. In proportion to the development of society, individual life is going to become more circumscribed. Collective will is the highest form. Thus it was that with 8-horse traction, all the goals of the trial, he's speaking about a specific trial here, on page 398 of my version, the goals of the trial were attained. One, all the shortages in the country, including famine, cold, and lack of clothing, chaos, and obvious stupidities, were blamed on the engineer wreckers. The people were terrified by the threat of imminent intervention from abroad, and therefore prepared for new sacrifices. Distant circles in the West were warned of the intrigues of their governments. The solidarity of the engineers was destroyed. All the intelligentsia was given a good scare and left divided within itself. And so that there should be no doubt about it, this purpose of the trial was once more clearly proclaimed by Remsen. I would like to see to it that in consequence of the present trial of the Prom Party, the dark and shameful past of the entire intelligentsia will be buried once and for all. Larichev joined in. This caste must be destroyed. There is not and there cannot be loyalty among engineers. And Otchkin, too. The intelligentsia is some kind of mush. As the state accuser has said, it has no backbone, and this constitutes unconditional spinelessness. How immeasurably superior is the sensitivity of the proletariat. So now just why should such diligent collaborators be shot? And that was the way the history of our intelligentsia has been written for decades. From the anathema of 1920, the reader will remember, not the brains of the nation, but shit, and the ally of the black generals and the hired agent of imperialism, right up to the anathema of 1930. So should anyone be surprised that the word intelligentsia got established here in Russia as a term of abuse? Now, I want you to say, oh, our intelligentsia are a bunch of liberal pricks, and that's fine. Forget the specific target, the engineers and the intelligentsia. The target is whomever the state, and especially the state-run media and education system, tells you is the targeted group. The MAGA terrorists, the Christian nationalists. You see, this is the game that's played as they engineer the collapse themselves for the sake of their profits, and they need you infighting amongst each other, so they have to have scapegoats. And that's what you're going to start seeing. And you have to understand something. Why does this happen? This happens because we're broken. You really have to understand this. I know a lot of you Christians believe in original ancestral sin, and some of you who aren't have some kind of notion that humanity isn't exactly living up to, you know, whatever standards you think it should. We're broken because we have decided to put our rational mind over and above God. The creature puts himself above the creator and says, I know better. And it is an ancient lie. And what happens is that we don't understand who we are personally. We don't understand who we are personally because we don't know that we are a person. We are a human person made in the image of God, with the power in us to become the likeness of God with his aid because of the incarnation that occurred 2,000 years ago. We don't know that we're persons. We don't even know what a person is. We use the term person in the pagan sense of a mask, or more often than not in the psychological sense of an individual of humanity, right? That's the game. We have to do everything for the sake of humanity and world peace, and you are an individual part of humanity. And in order to benefit humanity, some of the individual parts that are dangerous, like a cancer, have to be excised. You see how easy that is? It's pathetic. You are not part of humanity. You're a human person. That means that you are a person who contains a broken human nature that can be healed by Jesus Christ himself because he assumed human nature and healed it. But the God who created you without your consent and involvement is not going to save you without your decision, because part of your being a person is that you have a free will. You can choose. And you have to choose because love is a free choice. You cannot be forced to love. You cannot be forced to heal. You cannot be forced to become who you are. You have to choose it. And in our lived experience, we don't know that we're a person. We only understand that we're an individual human of humanity, which means that basically all we understand is that individual humans and the collective totalities of humans are in perpetual conflict. That is why we have governments. That is why we have wars. That is why we have psyops. That is why we're pitted at each other's throats. That is why we need to divide and conquer. That is why we have to hold the collective above the individual and then flip it the other way and say, no, the individual is more important than the collective. All of that is a dialectical deceit. It's dialectical nonsense. You're an individual person, but you're a part of the human experience, and you can enter that human experience in its fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing that there can be, because everything else is downstream from that. You can't heal this country. You can't help other people. You can't help the world. You can't honor God if you do not do that. And it's not even something that can be explained, even though I'm trying to explain it. It's something that has to be experienced, and I'll tell you, I haven't experienced it. I'm not an expert on this, so don't ask me about it. You have to do it yourself. You have to experience it. You have to experience life in Christ yourself. First, you have to be baptized into his body, and then you have to live him. Nothing else is going to heal us. That's how bleak the situation is. You want to stop this genocide? Become Christ-like. You want to feed the world? Become Christ-like. Stop pandering to Antichrist ideologies, Antichrist collectivisms, and Antichrist individualisms. Because that's how we got this mess. For 10 fucking years, I have been coming on here to explain to you how the electoral system is bullshit. Stop relying on the Republicans. Stop with your namby-pamby saccharine Christianity. Get real. Get busy. The situation is dire. And a genocide is coming. In fact, one of the last shows that Trog and I did right before Trump came down that golden escalator was about the genocide. And guess what? The genocide is here. It's happening right fucking now. Don't pretend that it isn't. Don't think it'll blow over. It can be changed. We can have hope in the future. But not if we hope in the wrong things. Not if we follow the wrong choices. Not if we cling to our old, tired, worn ideologies in a dialectical dance of death with Lucifer. And until you admit that you were wrong in the past, you cannot be right in the moment. And until you get right thinking, you do not have a future. You have the next instant of miserable walking death. You have to live. You have to be alive. You have to be Christ-like. You have to share the glory of the Lord with the world. That is some namby-pamby nonsense of prosperity gospel and accusing, you know, people of living wrong. We're all living wrong. We're all doing it wrong. We have to learn to do it right, and we have to let go of our individual conceit and our collective power and allow God to heal us and make us who he made us to be so that we can be the lights of glory for him. You have a choice. I have a choice. We all have choices. We all have that power. I come on here to tell you the truth and hopefully encourage you to do the right thing so that maybe we can get out of this fucking mess together. Maybe. I said maybe because it's a fucking bleak situation. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm not trying to frighten you because fear is the mind killer. I'm just laying it out for you as it is so that you can stop pretending that there's a white knight coming to save you. Donald Trump isn't coming to save you. The Republican Party isn't coming to save you. Vladimir Putin isn't coming to save you. Nobody's coming to save you. Did you think maybe you've already been saved? Maybe you are being saved. Maybe you will be saved. And maybe you are supposed to be the hands and feet and mouth and heart of our Savior. Did you ever think in those terms? Or are you just trying to hold on to your 401k and stock up on food and toilet paper so you can get through the early famine next year and just hope you can hold on for the Republicans to get in January and fix everything for you? Or are you hoping that somehow before the second coming you're going to be picked up into the air, you go to meet the Lord, and all the rest of the losers who don't have faith in their hearts are going to be down here for 7 years of tribulation. Fuck you. You lazy fucking moron. That's not true. It's never been true. There's nothing scriptural about it. There's nothing biblical about it. Jesus never said it. It is an irrational delusion that you've fallen for. So many of you. And it's fucking ridiculous. And you know what? If someone is a rational thinking human being and you come at them with that shit like so many of my, quote, Christian friends came at me before I accepted Christ in my heart, it turns people off. It's comic book caricature bullshit, and by promulgating it, you're actually pushing people away from the Lord. Get real. Get to the truth. Christ didn't write a book. He founded a church. The church gave you the book. The church uses the book in its liturgy in context. The book, the sacred scriptures, are an icon. When you make them into an idol, you're not doing the work of Christ. You're not living a life in Christ. You're living a delusion, and delusions only come from one place. Delusions are born of the rational mind of men under the influence of the deceiver, the evil one. And prelest, which is spiritual delusion, is the worst kind of delusion that there is, because it will lead you straight into hell on a gold-colored road paved with the skulls of priests and bishops that have failed to do what they were called to do by God himself. And every one of us has a duty to live the truth, to tell the truth, to speak the truth, and to courageously rise up against evil wherever it manifests. Each other, get through this mess, because we're in the midst of a global genocide. We're about to enter the Great Famine, and psychotics who are using usury and digital magic to bring about a transmogrification of humanity into a zombie, cyborg, collective horde of death. That's not hyperbole. That's not conspiracy theory. That's not psychosis. They've said it themselves. They're working on the technology to do it. They plan to implement it. And the only thing that is going to stop them from creating this hell on earth is you, with love in your heart and courage in your fists, and go forth and live life and fight for the good and the true and the beautiful and crush evil wherever you find it. Thanks for tuning into the 10th anniversary show.
was a hard one. I don't know if it was worth anything, but if you liked it, let me know. Let me know if you want me to do another one, because frankly, I would like to actually make this my sign-off and never come back, because it's just becoming tedious, and sometimes I don't have anything new to say. But you can follow me on Gab. You can get on my Facebook. I sometimes have pithy comments on the current stuff. Nobody knows this show happened unless you tell them. Nobody knows that Nate from Orlando called in. Nobody knows that Gator was in my chat. Unless you tell them. blogtalkradio.com/Liberty's Thunder, and then find me and also Butch's excellent work on the Bond Robin channel on Rumble, on BitChute, and on Gab TV. Pray hard, fight harder. This is Rex signing off, and the thunder of liberty rumbles on.
Are doing to us, China, everyone. They're killing us on trade. If I'm elected president, we will win, and we will win, and we will win. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Trump, thank you.